This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series this season. Amen. Amen. It's like a 9-part series. Wow. And it's on the fruit of the Spirit. And so really, God wants us walking in fruit. How can you tell people are believers? Well, you can tell by the fruit that they walk in. Amen. And we want to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, really, your calling is really your main calling before you receive Jesus is to get Jesus in your life. That's number one. But number two, your main calling is to bear good fruit. That's your main calling. Somebody say, well, I'm called to be a pastor, but really, I'm called to really be a fruit bearer, a good fruit bearer. And so God wants us bearing good fruit. I like what it says in John 15:16. And this is Jesus. And he's talking about abiding in the vine, because the only way you're going to bear good fruit, you don't force good fruit. Amen. You can't make yourself, you know, kind and loving and all this. No. It comes out of the fruit of the Spirit comes out of your relationship with God. See, if you have a thriving relationship with God, if you're developing your relationship with God, you say, how do I do that, Pastor? Well, one of the ways you do that is come to church. Amen. Because you get hear a word from the pastor that will strengthen you, and you get to know God a little bit more through the messages. And sometimes God speaks to you through the messages. Amen. Amen. Hopefully, God's speaking to you through the messages. Amen. And so God wants us bearing good fruit. And in John 15:16, it says here, Jesus is speaking. It's in red. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give you. So he's saying here that you are chosen. Somebody say, I'm chosen. Chosen. Glory to God. You are chosen. Glory to God. So really, you didn't seek God. God sought after you. Amen. God sought you out, knocked on the door of your heart. Glory to God. And now you're in church today. Praise God. That's a good thing. Because we're not smart enough to get God on our own. I'm going to say that again. You're not smart enough to get God on your own. You got to have God tap you on the shoulder. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love this. This is the main text talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And it's in Galatians. And it's in Galatians 5:22-23. And he talks about the fruit. Before that, he talks about the works of the flesh. And the works of the flesh are bad. But we don't want to have the works of the flesh in our life. We want to have the fruit of the Spirit. And he says here, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How many people are controlling yourselves? Amen. Self-control. And against such, there is no law. Amen. In other words, when you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law that can come against you. Amen. There's no law of sin and death, because there's two laws working. Do you know there's two laws working? In Romans 8, there's the law of life in Christ Jesus. That's the law of life in Christ Jesus. That's walking in the Spirit. And then there's the law of sin and death. And I'm going to say this. As Christians, you can walk under either law. But if you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit, you're under the law of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I want to be under that law. That's the abundant life law. Can I get a witness in the house today? So we are in part 6 of the fruit of the Spirit. And today we're focusing on goodness. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to say this today, that you have goodness working in your lives. You might say, well, Pastor, you didn't see the evil that I did last week. Yeah, you might have done some evil, but if you repent, plead the blood of Jesus, God will clean you up and start you all over again. Amen. That's called repentance. 1 John 1:9, confess your sins and he's faithful to forgive you. So God is working good. Say God, say this. God is working goodness in me and through me. So God is working goodness. You are a good person because you have God in your life. That's why you're a good person. See, there's no goodness. The psalmist says there's no goodness apart from God. I'm going to say again, there is no goodness apart from God. God makes you good. God is the one that draws us into a relationship with him, and he compels us. Does he compel you to pray? Does he compel you to read the word? Well, maybe sometimes. Does he compel you to be nice to people? Yes, God compels you. Amen. He prompts you, glory to God. So goodness begins with God. Okay, that's good right now. Goodness begins with God. There's no goodness. Now, the world wants to give you a general goodness. The world without Jesus believes that mankind is inherently good. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that man is inherently bad. Okay, can I give you an illustration this morning? If there was no traffic signs on the road, no traffic lights or speed limits, I would be going 100 miles an hour on the highway. But because there's speed limits and there's police out there, I have to go at least 5 miles over. Amen. How many people go 5 miles over the speed limit? Maybe push the envelope a little bit. There is a little, you do have a little bit of grace. And a lot of times you're okay with 3 or 4 miles over the speed limit. They don't normally pull you over. There is a little grace there. And a lot of times the cars are going that fast, so you got to keep up or you're going to be left behind. Is that right? Because we live in an impatient world, amen? And so, but if there wasn't traffic lights and all this, we would be doing our own thing. So we have to have, there's police out here. So men are inherently evil. They're not inherently good. You got to get Jesus in your life to be good. Amen. If we could be good to get God, we don't need Jesus. Is that right? If we could be good, generally good, you know, some people believe that if they're just a general morally upright person, they have good morals, that should be good enough to get to heaven. I'm going to say this to you. It's not good enough. Just being morally upright is not good enough. You got to have Jesus. Amen. 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 Jesus is good. And God is good. I like what it says in Deuteronomy 32. This is powerful. Because you can't do life without Jesus. And you can't be good without Jesus. And in Deuteronomy 32:3-4, it says, "For I proclaim the name of the Lord, and I ascribe greatness to our God. For he is a rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are justice. A God of truth without injustice, righteous and upright is he." Now, this is describing the goodness of God. Think about this. This is describing how good God is. God is good because he's perfect. His ways are justice. He's a just God. He walks in truth. And there's no injustice in God. And God is always righteous. He's always right. And he's upright. So God is perfect. He's the perfect God, the perfect Father that we serve. Amen? I love what it says in Psalms 86:5, talking about the goodness of God. It says here, "For you, Lord, are good, ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to those who call upon you." Amen. And then in Psalms 100:5, it says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." So we see here that God's goodness is always linked to His mercy and His truth. God's goodness, and I'm going to say this, if you're going to be a good person, if you're going to walk in God's goodness, you need to be a merciful person. Amen? And you need to walk in the truth. In other words, walk in God's truth, because God's truth is truth. You know, some people say, well, truth is, you know, is subjective to how you grow up and how you think about it and how your parents brought you up. Oh, no. Truth is what, and some may say, truth is what the government says is okay. True, you know, if the government says this is okay, then that must be truth. No, truth is what the Bible says is true. So the Bible tells you what is true, and the Bible tells you what God believes is true and good, and what God believes is evil. And if you just read the Bible, and some people say, well, isn't God okay with this? And as long as the Bible's okay with it, God's okay with it. Amen? But if God's not okay with it, then God, then we should not be okay with it. Is that right? Amen. And so we need to understand that the Bible is the textbook for living. It's basic instructions before leaving earth. B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. So it teaches us what God loves and teaches us what God hates. And God loves righteousness and God hates lawlessness. Do you believe that today? Amen. And so I love that. So you could say, goodness in the Greek means uprightness of heart and life. Somebody say uprightness. And so it's walking upright before God. It's living a life that doesn't have, you know, that you're focused on being the best version of yourself. That you're not taking shortcuts in this life. Hello, are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? That you're living your life upright before God. Amen. And God will help you do that. Goodness is love at its noblest behavior. Goodness is love at its noblest behavior. In other words, love works no evil. Love thinks no evil. Love speaks no evil. Amen. A good person is not working evil. A good person is not thinking evil. And a good person doesn't speak evil. See, the more godly you are, the more good you're going to be. Amen. If you're a godly person, you're a good person. Do you believe that today? I love that. And I love what it says in Romans 13:10. It says here, love does no harm to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So if you're going to walk in goodness, you want to treat your neighbors good. You want to treat people around you good. And guess what? It's going to come back. You can't help but if you're good to somebody, they're going to be good to you eventually. Amen. And number two, goodness is holiness in practice. Holiness. Have you ever heard that word holiness? Now holiness is a process of our Christian walk. We are in a process of walking more holier to God. That means sanctification. Amen. You know, the Lord God wants to lead us out of worldliness. What is worldliness? Well, you know, when I first got saved, I used to go to the clubs and I got saved. And then, you know, and I would still every once in a while go to the club. But the Lord revealed to me that was worldliness. That's what the world does. And so, I had to make a commitment. I'm going to cut the club life off. I'm not a clubber anymore. Amen. I'm a churchgoer. I'm a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I had to separate myself. So holiness is relating to goodness is separating yourself from the world to God. Amen. Can I get a witness now? We're separating ourselves from the world to God. And I love this because this connects to being good. In 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, it says, therefore, this is Paul. And he's writing to the Corinthian church, and they were a carnal church. They walked in the gifts, but they were baby Christians. And he says to them, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So right here, Paul is saying, be separate and do not touch the unclean. In other words, don't go in those wrong areas. Don't go into worldliness. Stay in holiness.
Amen.
Amen. That means that you might have to not watch the rated R movies that might have a little of nudity in it and cussing and cursing. You might need a, oh man, I'm meddling today. Some of you don't want me talking about what you watch, right? Well, what you watch and what you consume, you will become. What you consume, you will become. And I want to consume the Word of God, and I want to become more like the Lord. So your lifestyle needs to change if you're going to walk in goodness. Can I get a witness in the house today?
Amen.
Amen. And then number three, goodness is generosity at its highest level. And so generosity, when you hear the word generosity, what do you think when you hear that word? That means that you are a giver, that you give, that you love, you live to give. Amen. I love that. And so, you know, Jesus was in church one day, and Jesus was watching people put money in the offering bucket or put in the offering plate. And he was watching people put their money in. It's funny, Jesus watches people that give. Amen. Jesus is watching us as we give into the offering. He's paying attention. Amen. Why? Because he wants to reward us for our faithfulness. Do you believe that? Because he wants to gather up treasures in heaven, because you get blessed twofold when you give down here. God will bless you down here, open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing, right, that you cannot even contain, but you will be working treasures in heaven. So it's a twofold blessing. Amen? I love that. God gives you a double blessing in your giving. So Jesus was in church looking at people giving. Can you believe that? And so it says in Mark 12, 43 and 44, so he called his disciples to him and said to them, assuredly I say to you, this poor widow who put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. So this is a story about a widow woman giving two pennies, right? And see, people were giving out of their excess, but she gave all that she had. And Jesus took a notice, because it's percentage. What are you giving God? And are you giving God everything? Because God's looking for your entire life. That's really the subject. He's looking for us to give him our entire life. You could say goodness is moral excellence at its highest level. Amen. So goodness in Ephesians 5:9 says it this way, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. We just talked about how good God is, and what connects God to being good is God is righteous and he is true. And so if you're going to be walking in the goodness of God, you got to walk upright before God. That means there's no crookedness in you. That means you don't have any secret sins. I'm going somewhere this morning. That means you don't have secret sins in your life. Amen. That you're living your life right every day, as if God is watching you.
Amen.
And just because the pastor goes out of town doesn't mean that you can go out and go party. Amen. That means that God is watching us. We want to walk in goodness, which is righteousness, right standing with God. Amen. Jesus explains what evil and good, and it comes out of the heart. You know, evil and good comes out of a heart. In Matthew 12, 33 and 35, Jesus is speaking. This is in red. Jesus says this, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood and vipers. Now he's talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, because they were religious. They weren't really, they were using God for their own gain. They were using God to look good. Amen. But they weren't really living it the way they were supposed to. And so Jesus calls them broods and brood and vipers. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of a good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of an evil treasure brings forth evil things. So what am I saying to you today? I'm saying to you today, as you allow God's word to come into your life, God's word is likened to seed, and it goes into our hearts likened to soil. And if you continue to stay in the word of God, good things will come out of your life. But don't live your life half in God and half in the world, because your life will be diluted. That means you won't walk in the full power that God wants you to walk in. That means you're walking in a little bit of the world and a little bit of God, and you won't be too good for either the devil or God. You'll be lukewarm. And you don't want to be a lukewarm Christian, because God said, I'll spit you out of my mouth. Amen. So I don't want to be lukewarm. I want to be on fire for God. Amen. I love that. And so so Jesus continues to say in Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account on the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. So a lot of times, wrong thinking will produce wrong speaking. You could say wrong receiving. If we're receiving wrong things in our life, you know, we're in the wrong places, receiving the wrong things, then we'll have the wrong thinking, and then we'll have the wrong speaking, and then we can be judged for that. So our words can get us in trouble. In other words, loose lips can sink ships. Do you believe that today? And we want to be speaking the right things out of our mouths and have the right actions. Our thoughts, our words, our actions will justify us or condemn us on judgment day. That's a powerful statement I just made. Can I get out of my seat today? I'm telling you, I got to get out of my seat today, man. I'm getting excited here. Amen. We're all going towards the throne of God. Amen. In other words, you are getting ready to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ that I know that I gave him my all. Amen. Amen. That I just didn't live a life half in God and half in the world. I want to live my life full on board with God. If you're going to be a Christian, just give it all to God. Why just be a part Christian? Why not be a full Christian? Because we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be there that day. And I'm going to say, your mama's not going to be able to hold your hand on that day. But my mama loved the Lord. Well, do you love the Lord? My daddy loved the Lord. But do you love the Lord? Well, I grew up in a Christian family. Well, that's okay. They're going to have to stand for themselves, but they're not going to stand for you. Mama, help me. You know, no. You're going to have to stand for yourself on judgment day. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians, because I'm talking about being good and walking in the goodness of the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says this, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. What, Pastor? I thought once you receive Jesus, the grace covers everything. Yes and no. The grace does cover you going to heaven, but it doesn't cover if you're living your life for yourself down here or you're not walking before the Lord right. In other words, when you get in the judgment seat, when Jesus is judging you on that day, the Bible says he's going to judge what you've done in your body, whether good or bad. And then what's that judgment? Well, that judgment is not for you to go to hell over, but it's for either you're going to get a reward or lose a reward. You know, there's going to be some people that's going to get lots of rewards in heaven, and some people might lose rewards in heaven. And you don't want to lose a reward. You want all the rewards you can get. And then some. I love rewards. I love awards. How many people love rewards and love awards? Some of you guys will fight hard to get an award or to get a reward. Even Olympics, you know, these people, they fight hard to get that gold medal. I'm telling you, you need to be fighting hard as Christians to get the gold medal on Judgment Day. Amen. I'm looking at fighters today. You guys are fighters. You guys are gonna get all of your reward that God has for you because you're going to walk this life the way God wants you to walk it. Amen? The key in staying in track in walking in the goodness of the Lord, amen, is in the verse right before the verse that I just read. It's in 2 Corinthians 5:9. Make it your aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. So listen, if every day you want to please God, then it's going to cause you to walk in the goodness of God in your life. It's pleasing God. What when you think about doing something, think about, is this going to please God or is this going to displease God? Is this going to bring God pleasure or this is going to bring God displeasure? Amen? You got to always filter your life and how you live your life by how God thinks about your life.
Amen.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? I know it's going over like a lead balloon today. I know you guys are getting excited today. Amen. But listen, God is examining us every day. And so what do we need to do? We need to be focused on being pleasing to God. But we do this by Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good. Notice that. What is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Amen. So you don't want to be conformed to the world. You don't want to be like the world, but you want to be transformed by the Word of God.
Amen.
And the Word of God is transforming you to be good like God. Amen. See, God wants us, you know, once you receive Jesus and you start doing some good things, God wants you to continue to do good things.
Amen.
In other words, God doesn't want you quitting on Him. He doesn't want you stopping reading the Bible, stopping praying, stopping going to church. Amen. He wants you to continue. See, the Bible says you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free if you continue in the Word. But what if you don't continue? You might be in trouble. Amen. So our Apostle Paul is encouraging us in Romans 11:22 to continue in our faith. He says, therefore, consider the goodness and the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness. If you continue in His goodness. Think about that. So think about the goodness of God and the severity. The severity would be the judgment side of God. God is still judging. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord, the Bible says. And it says, otherwise you also will be cut off. See, Paul is saying, listen, continue in your goodness, otherwise you'll be cut off. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying that we got to continue to follow Jesus. That we can't turn and go another way. We can't just start accepting Buddha or accepting Muhammad as being the truth. We got to keep believing on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can't switch saviors. Amen. We got to stay with Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. And so Paul is saying this. He's saying this to Christians that were a little uppity in their faith and saying, well, we're better than Jews that don't know Jesus. Listen, the Jew that doesn't know Jesus, they're still blessed. We just got to pray for them. And Paul is saying, don't get uppity because you have salvation. And he's saying, you got to still continue to be good so you won't be cut off. And then he says they also were cut off, the unbelieving Jewish people, but they could also be engrafted into the tree. So Jewish people, what some Orthodox Jews are doing, they're going with the law of the Torah, trying to obey the law, but they're sidestepping Jesus. And just obeying the law, you can't obey it perfectly. Jesus did obey the law perfectly. And they're going to be judged on the perfection that they walked in. And guess what? It's not going to be as perfect as Jesus. So law, legalism, religion won't get you to heaven. Only Jesus. It's a relationship and not religion. You're building your relationship with God Almighty. I'm telling you, my preaching is much better than your amen in. You are building your life on a relationship with the Lord God Almighty. Amen? And so he's saying here, if you continue, you must continue in the faith. You must hold on to your faith. Why? Because the devil's trying to take it away from you. How does the devil take away your faith? He takes it away through offense. If he can get you offended, if he can get you angry with somebody, get you offended and get you upset with God or with people, and get you to try to write off God and write off people, then he got you. But you're not going to be offended, because those that love God's word will not be offended, the Bible says. Somebody say, I love God's word. And then he says in Galatians, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have an opportunity, here's a word of good, let us do good to those, especially those who are in the household of faith. God wants us being good to one another. And I'm telling you, I believe this church is good to one another. Amen? A good person doesn't give up on God. So what is the devil trying to do? The devil, what he will do is he'll put some negative circumstances in your life. He'll make your life feel kind of hard because he's going to put some... The devil comes to test and tempt and try you. And he may put a negative situation, a circumstance in your life, and then he wants you to blame God for it. Because he wants you to blame God. Oh, God, if you are so good, why is this happening to me? Well, God's not doing it to you. It's the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God gives us life and life more abundantly. He's trying to get life to us. The devil's trying to get destruction into our lives. Amen. And so the people, they get offended with God because they're going through a hard time since they start believing, and then they start blaming God for their hard time. Don't get mad at God. Get mad at the devil. And you have the power to tell the devil where to go. So the Bible says, don't cast away, in Hebrews 10:35, don't cast away your confidence, for you have need of patience, so after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Glory to God. And so you have to remain stalwart in God. Amen? And I love this in Romans. Paul says this to the Roman church, I am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with the knowledge, and able also to admonish one another. So Paul was very convinced that the Roman church was full of God's goodness. I am convinced that Exceed Life Church is full of God's goodness. I am convinced that you are doing good out here when I'm not watching. Glory to God. You are doing good in your lives, and you're trying to walk in goodness. Amen? And I love that. So goodness. What is goodness? It's God defines what goodness is. And you could say the Ten Commandments is God's rule book to goodness. And number one, the Ten Commandments is in Exodus 22-17 and Deuteronomy 5:6-21. And number one, God says goodness is not having any other gods before him. So it's not good to have any other gods before God. It's not good. Amen? So really, goodness is to love God more than anything else. Say, I love God more than anything else. And number two, he says, it's not good for you to have an idol in your life. You shall make no idols. And so it's not good for you to put anything above God. In other words, God has to be first in your life. And it can't be your recreation. It can't be your career. It has to be God. Amen. Because God has to be first. Amen. So we don't worship things. You know, sometimes we get a new vehicle and we say, I love that car. I love this and I love that. I love ice cream. No, you might love these, you know, you say you love it, but really you love God more than you love your vehicles, your houses, glory to God. There's no idols in your life. Amen. Number three, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You know, one of the things when I'm watching, sometimes I see something or a video, and maybe it's not too sanctified, and or I hear sometimes, you know, of changing the channels, and there's a movie, and somebody in the movies notoriously will use God's name in vain. And have you ever heard GD? You know what I'm talking about. And, you know, and GD, using that GD word really gets to me. When I hear somebody say, GD, you know. And we as Christians, we don't use GD. Well, what's GD, Pastor? Well, God, we don't use GD because God's not the dammer. God's not damning people. God's blessing people. And so we don't use the GD word. We don't use God's name in vain. Amen? And so if you are, repent and stop it. Glory to God. What do? We praise God. We don't use his name in vain. Amen? Sometimes, you know, I say, God bless. Amen? That's what I say, God bless. It sure is better than God, the other word. God bless. Say that, God bless. Just change your vocabulary, amen? Number four, keep the Sabbath. This is powerful. God is saying here that there should be a day where we should take a Sabbath day rest in the Lord. Amen? And Sundays is probably your day. You can't be working all day. You can't burn the candle on both ends and be any brighter. Amen? That's good. You guys didn't catch that. You can't burn the candle on both ends and be any brighter. Hallelujah. In other words, God doesn't want you overworking, glory to God. In Proverbs 23:4, it says, do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. In Proverbs 23:4, it says, don't wear yourself out trying to get rich. Be wise enough to know when to quit. In other words, you can't be working 7 days a week and not have any time off. Why? Because God knows your body can break down. And God wants you taking a Sabbath day so he can renew you and strengthen you and bless you. Can I get a witness? Amen. Number five, honor your father and your mother. This is powerful because, you know, the Bible says that when we honor God, this is good. It's good to honor mom and dad. And the Bible says this way, when you do that, there's a blessing. What's the blessing? Long life. So if you are honoring mom and dad, now you may not have your mom and dad here anymore, praise God, but you can still be thankful for what they did. Maybe they didn't do everything right in your life. Maybe they didn't treat you right, but you can still honor them for bringing you into the world. Amen. And you can still be thankful that you were born, glory to God. And there's no perfect parents. Amen. We're all are imperfect in all our ways. There's no perfect parents, glory to God. But we can still honor them for who they are. Amen. And the Bible says it's with a promise. When we honor God, God will give us a long life. Number six, it's not good to murder people. It's not good to kill people. Amen. That's not good. Amen. That's not good. The Bible says, you know, in some translations, thou shalt not kill. Well, and then some people take that, well, I better not kill that bug on the ground. You know, you got some religions that don't want to kill anything, right? No, I'm a pacifist. I don't kill anything. I don't kill bugs. Amen. I stomp bugs. Glory to God. If there's a bug, I'm stomping it. Glory to God. Amen. Especially if in the house, I'm stomping that bug. Glory to those critters. Glory to God. But it says, do not murder. So really, it's not good. We don't have murder. We don't have hate in our lives. We don't wish people to be dead. We don't wish people to, as Christians, we pray for those that despitefully use us, and we're not hoping somebody's going to die early. Lord, take them home. We don't pray prayers like that. Glory to God. Well, maybe some of you. No, we won't go there. You don't wish people to be dead, glory to God. So what do? Instead of we don't murder, we give people life. Amen. How do you give people life? You give them the gospel. You give them the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And I love what it says in Proverbs 11:30. It says, the fruit of righteousness is the tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Powerful. And so God doesn't want us murdering. He wants us giving life. And then it says here in 7, you shall not commit adultery. And so it's bad committing adultery. Why? Because you're being unfaithful to your spouse. And marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman, and vowing to each other and under God that you're going to be together death till you part. And I'm telling you, it's a covenant where you're faithful to one another. And so you're not adulterers, glory to God. You're not going to commit adultery, hallelujah. You're going to stay faithful to your spouse. So faithfulness is the antidote to adultery. You stay faithful to God. Number 8, you shall not covet, glory to God. You should not covet your neighbor's stuff. Or in other words, you shall not steal. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry. Number 8, you shall not steal. I got that out of order. Amen. But I like covet. Amen. So you don't want to be wishing that you have something that somebody doesn't, that somebody already has. You're not coveting what somebody has. You're not coveting somebody else's spouse. Amen. You're not coveting somebody else's car or their house. In other words, you got to be thankful for what you have. Amen. Amen. In 1 Timothy 6:6-7, it says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. Think about that. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we can't carry nothing out. Amen. So really, if you're really in God, the more closer you walk with God, the less things you're going to desire, because you're going to be satisfied with your relationship with God. I in other words, I can't remember the last time I bought something for myself. I've been so happy in God that I'm not looking to find happiness in things. And I can't remember the last time that I was, you know, really trying to get something. Amen? Amen. And number 8, let's go back up to number 8. You shall not steal. Amen? So stealing is something that we don't do. So what's the antidote to stealing? We're givers. We are givers. In Ephesians 4:28, it says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. So Paul is saying here, stop. It's funny that Paul had to say this to the Ephesian church. Stop stealing. Yeah. that kind of, I'm thinking, what? What kind of church is that? Who's stealing? Amen. And he said, stop stealing, but rather labor, working with your hands so you can give something to somebody. Amen? So I love that. So without Jesus, we are lost in our sins, and God does not see us as good, but as evil. Amen? The world without Jesus is inherently evil, glory to God. And so I'm going to say this. It's written in Romans 3:23. It says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in Romans 3:10, it says that there is none righteous, not one. There's not one who understands. There's not one who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They all together become unprofitable. There's not one who does good, not one. This is interesting. So this is saying, apart from Jesus, you don't have any good. So you got to get a revelation that you know, if you could be good, if you could be good enough, you wouldn't need Jesus. I'm going to say it again. If you could be good enough, you wouldn't need Jesus. In Romans 6, it says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So how do you get that eternal life? You confess the lordship of Jesus Christ. You confess his goodness in your life, glory to God. And what happens is that Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus became sin on the cross so that we could have his righteousness. I'm going to say it again. Jesus became sin on the cross so that we can have his righteousness. And so when we receive Jesus, we receive his perfection. We receive his goodness, and he receives our sinfulness. It's the divine transition. It's the divine exchange. We exchange our sin for Jesus' righteousness. So your righteousness is not based on your good works. Your righteousness is based on the blood of Jesus. So your righteousness is not based on how good we are every day, because God's not really judging that. He's judging whether we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And as we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, your life will get gooder and gooder. Better and better. As we keep walking with God, because the fruit of the Spirit comes out of our relationship with God. And so you keep that relationship rolling. You keep, how do you do that? Through prayer. You keep praying every day. You pray every day. Say, I pray every day. Pray. Amen. And then you do that through worship. You need to start worshiping God, not just Sunday mornings, not just during worship time. You need to worship God every day. Get up and start worshiping God. Amen. Amen. And then number three, we need to be in the Word every day. Allow the Word of God to become everything to us. If you love the Word, you love Jesus, because Jesus is the Word. Amen. And then you need to be among other believers that will help inspire your faith. So the Bible says that church helps you inspire your faith, because we're in it to win it. We're in it together. And when we see each other come to church, we see that we're each one of us are still in the good fight of faith. And we say, oh, you're in church. Good, praise God. You're not backslidden. Because, you know, when you're out of church and there's not a good reason, we start scratching our heads. What's going on? Where are they at? Or did the devil get them? You know? And we start praying. I start praying for people not showing up. Lord, draw them by your Spirit. Protect them. I know there's reasons why sometimes you don't come out. Maybe health issues. It might be other issues. Might be legitimate issues. But I'm going to say this, that when you come to church, it just makes it better. I know there's reasons at times you may not be able to make it, but when you come to church, God blesses you. Why? Because you're coming to honor God. And then God speaks his word in you. Glory to God. And so the last key is that God's goodness makes us generous. And I want to continue to encourage you to be generous in all that you do. Start giving your life away. Be generous. Zacchaeus was a guy that was a rich man that was a publican, and he was short in stature, kind of like pastor. And he climbed the sycamore tree to look at Jesus. And he looked at Jesus. He was in that tree. And Jesus looked up and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to dine with you today. I'm going to have lunch with you today. And he knew Zacchaeus' name. God knows your name. And Zacchaeus went in, and Jesus talked to him about salvation. It's not about the works of the law. It's about a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And Zacchaeus received the truth and received Jesus as his Lord. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus, the first thing he said he was going to do was give his money away. If your faith is affecting your money, then I really believe you got some faith. If your faith is prompting you to give into the kingdom of God, that's saying that you really truly believe that God saved you from a devil's hell, and that it's your, you know, responsibility to give back into the kingdom. And I'm telling you, when you allow the goodness to prompt you to be a giver. Sometimes I like to give good tips when I'm out there eating in the restaurants. I definitely am a 20%er, glory to God. And so I give at least 20%, even if the service it's not that good. Amen. I saw one time, and I'm closing, I think on Facebook, it showed a receipt, this waitress or waiter posted on Facebook. And it has a line of tip, And in that line, it just says, do better. Amen. And they give them a tip. Amen. But that's not the way we should be doing that. We should not be writing a line, do better. You know, we don't like your service. In other words, we bless those that aren't really too good to us. Why? Because we're going to walk in God's goodness. We're going to seek hard after God. We're going to be well-pleasing to God. We're going to maintain our walk with God. We're not going to give up. We're not going to let go. We're going to keep pressing in until we see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Did you receive it this morning? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you. You are so good to us. I thank you, Lord God, for every precious person here in the audience and those that are watching and listening. And perhaps you are not walking in too much goodness. Perhaps there's some badness in your life where Jesus wants to take that badness out of your life and replace it with his goodness. Maybe you're not walking in goodness because you haven't bowed your knee to Jesus. And you can do that today. Just bow your knee to Jesus and he will help you out with your badness and make you good. So if you're ready to receive Jesus today, just confess this simple prayer after me and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.